House come to order if members can take their seats.
This budget is a huge job maker, and the number one solution to economic insecurity is a job.
Hungry children can't learn, and it's our responsibility to try to help.
Equality and opportunity.
I believe most people are here because they want to do some good.
Welcome back to Capital Ideas, the one and only podcast where members of the majority Democrats in the Washington State House of Representatives sit down at the Capitol and talk about ideas. Today's episode is a good one. It's your chance to get acquainted with Representative Milan Tai, the Deputy Majority Leader of the House. This is Milan's eighth year representing her neighbors in the 41st District, which starts on Mercer Island and heads east past Lake Sammamish, and along the way includes Newcastle, Factoria, Beauharts Village, and parts of Bellevue and Sammamish, and a lot more King County. She came to the U.S. as a teenage refugee from her native Vietnam, and in the years since became a pharmacist, an education leader in Bellevue, and vice president of the Washington State School Board Directors Association. Having said all that, I realize those are all just facts that you could get from a resume. If you really want to know who Milan Tai is, stick around for the next 20 minutes. We recorded this conversation on Thursday, February 19th, 2026, and here it is. Representative Milan Tai, welcome.
Thank you, Dan. It's always a pleasure.
How are things in the 41st Legislative District?
Dan, things in the 41st Legislative District is not any different than any legislative district in our state, nor the condition of our nation. I continue to receive email, letter about the well-being of my constituents. From time to time, I do receive stories that would warm my heart, how neighbors care for neighbors, people out on the street going about their business to grocery store and wearing the whistle. Really wanted to make sure that to be vigilant and taking care of their neighbors, those who told me that they wouldn't mind to walk a child to school, because if that would subside the fear and the stress that we all currently feel. So the 41st is very much aligned with how we all feel currently. And I'm once again still so grateful to have the opportunity to represent them.
And I want to make clear here that the whistle and the walking the child to school, that's not because of fear of someone jumping out and stealing a purse. It has to do with federal people with masks over their faces coming and grabbing people and throwing them into the back of a van.
That is correct, Dan. That is correct.
So I think the 41st is, as you said, not much different from any other district in this state.
I think both you and I, and for the audience who don't get to see us, we did take a moment to reground ourselves. This is an emotional time, and this really tests who we are. And I believe you did mention that there's going to be a bill that I introduced this in this session. Happy to have that conversation later on, but truly it's about the two of us, what we just did, reground ourselves when we witness what government are doing to the people whom we took an oath of office to serve.
This kind of lets me circle back to what you were doing this morning, which was you were part of the observation of the Day of Remembrance on the House floor.
Well, thank you, Dan. It's every year is a reminder for us how our civil rights were being violated, how the importance of representation matters, because when there is not a balance, certainly of government structure, executive, legislative, and judicial, was not balanced, then it's the people who has the power to rebalance it. And the Day of Remembrance, I'm so grateful to have Representative Santos as a leader, as an eyewitness, as a descendant of those who show courage, who show love, who show us, the generation, did not experience those pain and suffer. But when community stands together, speak out truth together, talk about the history and the willingness to learn from history together, can we actually build the kind of future that my daughter and son would be very proud of?
And that they deserve. I'm going to brighten things here a little bit by saying Happy Lunar New Year to you, Representative Milan Tai.
Thank you, Dan.
You were the prime sponsor this year of House Joint Resolution 4682, observing the beginning of the Lunar New Year, the year of the fire horse.
It is. It's a 60-year cycle. The last time we have the year of the fire horse in that cycle was 1966. So Dan, as someone who also loves history, 1966 was quite a year, not only in the United States, certainly in my home country in Vietnam. I was born 2 years after that. However, through learning of history, the year of the fire horse always bring changes that require courage and require deep passion for kindness and love for the possibility what humanity can bring forward. And so I'm so looking forward to see this year of the fire horse. And I too am very optimistic that it would only spring us into much better future.
I want to ask you about a bill that you sponsored, and I'll play the devil's advocate here for a second and echo what I assume is some of the pushback that you might have received on this bill, which changes some terms in the state statutes, takes the word alien and replaces it wherever it occurs, except certain locations, with the word non-citizen. There are people that have pushed back on this bill. There are people that will continue to do so, thinking, well, they're just changing a word here. They don't need to do that. Let's get on to something else. Tell me about that bill.
First of all, I wanted to introduce this bill, let's say, about 5 years ago. If we walk back 5 years ago, we were not in the place where we are today. And I'm thinking this is probably the place to say it, because I believe sometime the public need to understand and need to know the struggle of not only the bill sponsors, but certainly the stakeholderings and conversation. Honestly, one of the thoughts that I had when introduced the bill, as you know, I am a refugee from Vietnam. And because of my status, I love this country more than I can say. Because without the kindness of the people of this country, without the policy set by policymakers, I wouldn't be here. I wouldn't have the second chance, neither would I have this honor. When I introduced this bill, the thought came through, because the question you raised, I have heard a number of times. And I kept asking myself, is this a feel-good bill? Second, and more importantly, who feel good? It led me to the thought of our founding father. The people who came to this land, and I specifically say this land because at the time the United States was not a nation. People who came to this land share the same hope and dreams that my parents did, to have a chance at life, to have a chance of building a possible future. This nation wasn't formed until it was formed. Hence the conversation around citizens or non-citizens. This bill is about honoring those people who have landed here, their resilience, their courage, and also a reminder of our native people who have cared for this land, who have seen those who landed here as a people who seek refuge. People, not aliens, who land on the land that are others, that were any different than our native people. This bill truly honors the reason why we are all here. We do not see those who lived here cultivate the land, preserve all the goodness and the resources so that you and I, and certainly my children and our future generation will get to enjoy by seeing them as anyone other than fellow human who seek the same hope and dream. And so from my perspective, this is about honoring all of us, honoring the American dreams, and honoring what's possible. It is my hope to share out my deep gratitude for this nation. And what is a better way to do so by update a terminology that dehumanizes all of us and truly uplift the values and the kindness and compassion of the native people who took the first wave, who came here into their home, share their meals. This bill really highlights the history that we all should be very proud of and remind of what the origin of the United States was about.
What a great description of this bill. Let me jump over to a different role right now that you have. Of course, you're a representative of the 170,000 or so people in your district, but you also have been elected by your peers here in the Democratic majority of the State House to be the Deputy Majority Leader. That's a pretty big deal. It would be a big deal for anyone. But as a refugee coming to the United States, and you end up sitting in this position because you earned it, talk to me about that role.
Well, thank you, Dan. You said it better than what I could, and thank you. It definitely is an honor, and more importantly, if I could describe what my role is as a Deputy Majority Leader, my role in this space is about recognizing the very concept of diversity, equity, and inclusion. Without that concept, I wouldn't have the honor to represent the 41st Legislative District, as you mentioned. Without that concept, I wouldn't have the opportunity to introduce legislation that would continue to move us into the space where we all can benefit from being inclusive. We all can benefit from recognizing people's talents and values and people's ability to participate in building our nation together. And to me, that is what equity is about. And when we see the diversity of all hands and all hearts and all mind thinking of the same as moving Washington forward, we might have, you know, based on our experience, potentially different path to move our state forward. But by having those diverse conversations and lived experience and having a chance to share those ideas in the space of the legislative session as we are in, we could only move ourselves forward in the most thoughtful way. However, serving in this capacity as a state legislator, the last, now my year number 8, we recognize that we say that. We value that, but the process and the system to get us there isn't updated, is somewhat outdated, and my role is to lead a team in the House Democratic Caucus looking deeper into our everyday functioning, really about having conversation, create opportunity for learning and training, professional development. So if we truly believe in by having diverse options and opinions, by being inclusive in conversation and creating a more equitable path, and certainly when we say we're here doing the work for the benefit of people of Washington, the last thing we want to see is that our staff, our supporters, our advocates, the people who showed up here speaking to some of the issues that they have and asking for this legislative body to consider, if they are not being seen, if they not being welcome simply because of the process currently do not include them in the engagement in the process, then we fail our people. And so that is my job. My job is working not only to ensure the process of the legislation is truly equitable and inclusive, but to make sure that the work itself, as every word in policy, avoiding using terminology that intentional or unintentional exclude some of the members in our community, and I would say, for example, our trans community. They don't see themselves in policy. They don't see themselves in the work that we're doing, and they are my children, your children, and they deserve to be seen, heard, and felt. And so that is absolutely an honor of mine doing that work. It have been in the work for the last 3 years, and my sincere hope is that when we have a clear path for strategic planning presenting to the caucus, my hope is the public would be able to see the outcome of this investment, of this work, because if there is such a thing as legacy, my hope is that that will be my contribution to our state.
Milin, you know and I know how the schedule works around here. In odd-numbered years, it's 105 days. The big operating budget and the transportation budget and the capital budget are written. In the years like this, which end in an even number, it's only 60 days long, and things tend to be maybe more of taking care of loose ends when it comes to budgets. But here's the situation. It's a 60-day session. There's only 20 days left in it. During that time, the House and the Senate and the governor need to put their heads together and agree on how to tweak last year's big operating budget in particular. There's not much time left, and I'm wondering, how are things going from your point of view? You are a member of the Appropriations Committee. Those are the people who write the operating budget and the supplemental operating budget. You're also on the Rules Committee, which is the place where it's sort of the gate that all bills have to go through to get onto the House floor. What's going on here with less than 3 weeks left in this session?
That is the questions on everyone's mind, including mine, Dan. It's definitely not an easy session to go through. From my perspective, there's several things. Things number one, which we've been talking about for years, is that our state having the most now next to the last place or the most regressive taxation. It's not good government. It's not good governance. It's just not good. And I think it's all about fairness and stay true to that. There are more than 24 proposed revenue package or options to rebalance that for us to consider. From my perspective, 2026 is heavy, even though it's a short session, because we are all prepared for, by the time we get out of session, the first impact of the HR1 will be felt significantly. One, the failure of Congress renew the ACA subsidies for healthcare for people, we now potentially reverse back to the level of Washingtonian not having health coverage. We will feel it very, very soon. And then come January, which is next session of 2027, the significant cut in Medicaid, the most vulnerable populations in our state will be felt. And so from my perspective, the heaviness of 2026 also in preparation for our state of how to handle all of these onslaught that our Congress have done to people in Washington specific, but the people of the United States as a whole. I find that heavy. to carry. And if this is an opportunity, Dan, I would like to use this to really call out to each and every Washingtonian. I hope that the conversation of the hour is about caring for our neighbor, about embracing each other, about standing together, because that's how we can weather any crisis. This is the time. This is the time that there's so much uncertainty. We know it better when January 1st, 2027 hit. But in honesty, we have a sense of what to come. I hear from so many business, small and big, very concerned about taxation. I hope that you come and engage with us and help us figure out what is the balancing act. Because without your engagement, without your understanding of what we all together will face, we might see some of our neighbor, we might see some of our children, we might see some of the people that we care for deeply hurt as we move forward into this base. The shifting, the changing of the shift might be too slow. I will always meet with you. And certainly this Saturday, many of us have town hall. Please come, have conversation with us. Let us know how you feel, and together we can work this through.
I wish you the very best of luck. Milan, we've been talking for a little over a half an hour now. You showed me your calendar on your phone, and I realized that you've got about seven other things that you need to be doing right now. And so I'm going to let you go. But before I do, I want to give you one more chance here to take us out of this conversation in any way you want to. The floor is yours.
Thank you, Dan. I am an eternal optimist. And coming from the culture as an Asian woman, I'm being taught the word crisis is equal to the word opportunities. And that is how I chose to see us at this moment in time. Let's take this opportunity to make things better. Let's take this opportunity to be better. Let's take this opportunity to come together, because this opportunity is something for us to be able to see the humanity in one another. And I believe the future is so much brighter than what seems to be at this point in time. So I also wish you, those who celebrate many of the holidays that collide in February, and I would not be able to name everything, but for your cultural heritage, I wish you deep roots, strong trunk, and flexible branches, so whatever storm coming your way, we can all withstand.
I wish people could see you, Milan. We don't do this on video. We're sticking with audio for at least the foreseeable future. But if people could see you, they would realize that you have a smile and a positivity. It's not an empty smile. It seems to be something genuine from within you. That's always struck me that way. I always enjoy talking to you. I like running into you in the hallways, and I'm glad I got to spend a half an hour with you today. Thank you.
Thank you, Dan.
Now you know why I urged you to listen. If you feel like meeting Representative Milan Tai was time well spent, I hope you'll subscribe to Capital Ideas. There are 58 other members of the House Democratic Caucus, and at least a couple of them will stop by Room 364 in the O'Brien Building here in Olympia to share their ideas every week during the legislative session. This is your state government, and what happens here matters. I'm Dan Frizzell for the Washington State House Democrats, working together for One Washington since 1889. Thanks for listening.